Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Paul from San Diego.
Hello, I'm Paul. I'm a real alcoholic. Man, the last time I've been in front of this many people was traffic court. But then again, my back was to all guilty with an explanation. Through God's grace and because this program works, I haven't found it necessary to take a drink so far today, so I'm doing pretty good. And because I'm a member of the Fellowship Alcoholics Anonymous, and through the power I found in the 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous, I have not found it necessary to take a drink for 380 days today, consecutively, one day at a time. And for that, I'm very grateful. And, you know, I am sober today, and I'm not unhappy about it. And I was going to say my name is Paul Flaherty. I'm an alcoholic. And you know, it takes a lot of courage for me to say my last name at an AA meeting like this, because you never know when somebody might come up after the meeting and say, "Are you the guy that burned me for that $50 back?" Or the guy that cold cocked me at that keg party? Or you know, the guy that burglarized my mother's house, you know. So that's enough about what I was like. Actually, I grew up with six kids and one alcoholic father who was a police officer, and of course, his name was Tom Flaherty. He had to be a police officer, right? But he was a very violent alcoholic, and he would always come home and say, "Who ate the last of this or that?" And it was always me. And so I always got most of the beatings and stuff. My mother, I could still hear my mother screaming, you know, when I'm in bed, you know, "Tom, stop." And so that's what I grew up with. And, you know, I read this book called The Lost Boy, and I went through nothing like he did. And but I don't know if that's a book's true or not. But so anyway, that's how I grew up. And you know, I was at a men's meeting right over here when I got 90 days, and some guy came up to me and said, "Was your dad so and so?" I said, "He was an ornery son of a bitch. Never took a second of guff from anyone." I mean, that's the first thing he said about my dad. And, you know, and I turned out to be the same way. And I hated my father. I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous for a long time, and I always, every time I did inventory, his name was like number two or three or one. And I tried praying for him for 2 weeks. You know, I tried that. I just never really knew that it was not gone. And I was reading a book, Emmett Fox. And he said, if you're resenting somebody, you're not forgiving them, your soul is rotting. And so that made sense to me. It explained a lot of things. And, you know, one day this past year, I was doing an inventory. I was doing a 10th step for something I was hurt very deeply by some woman in the program. I'm not going to mention any names. And I was hurt. I mean, every instinct, everything, all my ambitions were, she wiped me out. And so I wrote all that down. And I'm really not giving you the whole story. But, I don't see her in this room, so. But, okay, so this woman called me up one night and she said, "Why don't you come over?" And you know, and I said, "Well, why do you want me to come over?" And she said, "Guess." So I said, and this woman I had my eyes on for a long time. And so the next day I get over there and there's it's like nothing ever happened. And it's like the phone call didn't happen. It was like. But so when I did that, and it was so funny. The next day at work, I'm all like a kid waiting for his new bicycle at Christmas, you know. And, I couldn't eat at work. I mean, you know, my car was smelling nice, and I brought the flowers and all that. And it was like I was hit. I was devastated, and it was like. But when I got home, and I think it was the next day, I inventoried it. And I got to the last four columns, you know, or four or five, you know, where was I at fault? You know, where was I selfish and dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate? And when I looked at that, I almost rolled on my apartment floor from laughter. It was the funniest thing that ever happened to me in my life. And I went from being hurt real bad to being laughing, and it just showed me a lot about, you know, about me. And so what happened from that, I don't know why, but I decided, well, I was in Catholic school when I was a kid right down the street and a couple miles, and I said, well, I'm going to go to confession, you know, it says do it in the book, you know. And so I was driving on a Sunday morning down to 94. It was cold. It was last winter. And I decided, you know, that's not a good idea. I said, maybe I better go back home. It's cold. I'm going to get my gloves. So I turned down 94 East. I turned on 805 South. And if you heard this story before, I'm sorry. And if you're up, but, you know, I'm going to tell this story for two reasons. One, because I like the way I tell it. And two, because it might help somebody, like the lady said, in Freedom from Bondage. Because anyway, I was dry. I took a 805 South to Imperial Avenue, and I said, I wonder if my father's in that graveyard right there, Greenfield Mortuary, because I didn't go to his funeral. And I went in there Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, nobody there, and got lost. It's a big place. And this guy comes driving down in this red truck. And he was a cremation guy. He said he'd been there 24 years. So, to make a long story short, he said, told me, I know exactly where your father's buried. And to this day, I don't even know if that guy exists. I don't know if that was some kind of angel or what. He said he remembered my brother drove a Bronco, and this was back in 92 when he died. And he said my sister flagged him down just like I did, asking for directions to the funeral. And he knew exactly where the grave was. He took me there. And I didn't have anything planned. But I said, you know, you were a bad example. Thank God for both of us. AA came along or something like that. I don't know. And I left. And but what happened was, for some reason, I went back. And I went back at night with a flashlight. And I cried over that grave. And I forgave my father. And the last time I left that place, it was the daytime, because I forgot where the grave was. I had to go to the administration building, and they said, it's right outside the front, right here. And so I went over there, and when I left that graveyard, I felt the love of a father for the first time in my life, and I actually love my father today. And I can forget, and that was the big one. And I don't know if that has anything to do with what's been happening in my life the last year. But, you know, shortly before that, I had gotten sober again, and I got a sponsor, and I don't know when I started. So, quack me. And I immediately went to the third step with him on our knees and to the fourth step, and, you know, I had the Joe and Charlie tapes, and I had the sheets, and I went down to Kinko's, and I made like 100 copies of the Resentments, and, you know. So I started doing it, and you know, I was looking for a job. I didn't have a job. My car didn't run, and I'm a machinist, and I've been a machinist for a long time. And instead of looking under M, I went over and looked under. For some reason, I saw a ship repair, and I got this machine inside machinist. So what's that? And, so I went down the street like a mile and a half from where I live. No car, took the trolley, and said, God, thy will be done the whole way. And I knew they were going to ask me if I've ever been convicted of a felony. And I knew I was going to have to tell them the truth. Because it's a big company, you know. They'd find out. So I did, and I took a test with a few other guys, and they called me back for an interview. And, and I got that job. And, that's just one of the things that's happened this last year that has shown me that I have a loving God in my life. This job, if I wrote down on a piece of paper what I wanted as a job, I would have shortchanged myself. I mean, of course, I'd like to ride my bike, work out, and play golf every day for the job, but this job, I make a lot more money than I ever have in my life. The people there are all nice people, and I have not told anybody there I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is another new thing. And, I also learned that there's a step 6 and 7 in Alcoholics Anonymous. After 23 years, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly. And, I can't just say, okay, God, here I am. I'm ready for you to remove all these defects. Let me go out and do what I want. And I can't do that. And that's 10 minutes. But anyway, that's all I had to say anyway. Thank you.